Hello and welcome to Dvorak Horowitz Unplugged, an hour-long discussion of activity in the financial markets around the world, featuring columnist John C. Dvorak and money manager Andrew Horowitz. This conversation is casual and unrehearsed. Let's join John and Andrew now.
I'm John C. Dvorak.
And I'm not an old gag. I'm Andrew Horowitz.
Yeah, that's good. Call back to the 70s. So this is the last show of the month. We're going into September.
Yeah, it's the end of the summer. Everybody's going back to school by you, right?
Yeah, pretty much.
Our kids go back to school in the middle of August.
Oh, really? They're back in school.
Yeah, exactly.
That's unusual.
Yeah. There's some rationale that in Florida, it's better to have the kids in school during the hottest part of the summer to save
maybe they're trying to do a kill off.
I don't know what it is. It's something about saving energy, aligning with the college.
Saving energy.
I don't know what their story is. But these poor kids in Florida, a lot of the schools have all the hallways or many of the hallways are outside, or at least the common hallways are outside. So these kids have to walk through all this oppressive heat. Terrible.
Well, they're not going to get into too many fights.
Right. They don't have no desire to do that. So it's the end of the summer. We have Labor Day approaching this weekend, and I guess the markets are closed on Monday. What are your big plans for the holiday?
I didn't even remember it was a holiday until today when somebody mentioned it. Well, so I have zero plans for this holiday.
Oh, come on over.
I could.
Yeah, come. Come, come.
I got a show to do on Sunday.
All right. Let me give you a quick market update. We have the general summer doldrums going on where slower markets, even though they're moving nicely, the volume is pretty light. As a matter of fact, we had one of the lightest days of the year today. In the last couple of days, been like this. So you have these, you know, the reason is you have traders vacationing, getting into the end of the summer. Last bit of vacation to go out to the Hamptons and all that. It used to be a little bit more pronounced than it is now because back in the day, traders couldn't trade if they weren't at their desk. Now they can use their iPhones. They can use portable computers.
Oh, that's interesting. That's a good. That's interesting. Is that what has that changed?
Well, it just changed that there's more participation now. Hmm. So you know you could be sitting on the beach trading away on your TD Ameritrade mobile app.
Good point.
So it may not be as it used to be. The summertime was a time you had to watch out. You know, a lot of volatility potential because of low volumes. People, you know, a lot of the players weren't there holding up their stocks. So things get a little bit crazy. We did hit some new all-time highs in the S&P 500. And now the only holdout from the big parade of all-time highs is the Dow Jones Industrial Average, which is about 2% lower than its peak in January. Which is pretty interesting. Well, hit a nice level because you could really tell, and I think this really proves a point here, that even though a lot of things like Ebola or presidential impeachment or trade wars or, you know, pick your poison, whatever you want to call a major potential issue,
yeah,
can really rock markets. The fact is, if you have economics that are solid, if you have earnings that are solid, you know, pretty much that could totally wipe away any of the concerns.
Yeah. Well, at least if you're somebody likes to rationalize everything.
Yeah. You've got to rationalize. Isn't that the whole game?
Yeah, it looks like it.
Isn't that what all media related to business is? It's the market was up today because China 10 trade tensions are lower, or the market was down today because North Korea has a bomb.
Yeah, well, you could actually make it that they're up today because North Korea has a bomb. They're down today because North Korea has a bomb.
Yep, you just have to find.
Like you take some news item and you say that's the reason it went up or down, whether the news item is positive or negative. So it's ridiculous.
The problem is that people need something to hold on to. They need something to dig their teeth in. Everybody needs a reason. You know that, right? Seriously.
Yeah.
Market participants need reasons why things happen.
Yeah.
It can't just be. Market was down today. Why? Because the market was down today. That's why.
Yeah, it goes up, it goes down.
Right. It was down today. It was down. We did see April consumer confidence come in today at an amazing level. 133.4. This is the conference board's numbers, different than the University of Michigan. So there's two separate numbers. One is a university, private institution. One is the government. Government's numbers came in at 134.4 versus 126, which was the consensus, versus last month, which was 127.4. Now, here's what's really fascinating about this. This reading was the highest since October 2000.
Looks like it's outrageously high.
Yeah, but it's good. I mean, people are happy. The president.
Yeah, I don't understand what the
what everybody's so giddy about.
Not completely convinced that this is not. I don't know. Maybe I think people are deluded. I have no idea. It actually bodes well for Trump.
Well, what you have is the present situation. The current situation index increased from 166 to 172. The expectations index increased from 102 to 107. But the percentage of consumers expecting an improvement in their short-term income prospects rose from 20% to 25%, while the people that expected a decrease declined from 9.4 to 7. So part of this, and a good chunk of this, is twofold. First, I think the stock market has something to do with it. People are very happy that their portfolios and 401ks and all that's doing well. And second, people have seen a bump of some size in their paychecks because lower taxes.
Ah, yes, so, I believe there is something to that.
That's what makes people happy. People don't care that people are hating on each other or that there's the potential for some catastrophic and cataclysmic, you know, situation somewhere. They just, honestly, at the end of the day, people care about the fact that there's more money in my pocket.
Pretty much. You could give them something to spend.
Right. You could be miserable with the whole world, but at least you're pacified by the fact that your wallet is fat. So yeah. I put a chart here of the confidence index. You can see that.
Yeah, it looks great. It's been on a steady march.
Yep, since what was the low there? Somewhere in 2010?
Yeah, 9 or 10, yeah. That actually began with Obama.
Yeah, well, of course. That also coincides.
That's after the collapse.
But that also coincides with easy money policy.
Yeah.
And we're, again, far beyond where we saw it back in even 07, where everybody was kind of giddy then.
And next, yeah, they were.
Yeah, next week's on Friday, we have the big employment report coming out. Last month, we were at, what, 3.99% with 170,000 adds to the payroll. I don't really see any reason why we're not going to stay in those levels or around there, right around there. We have the weekly initial claims numbers that are coming in pretty strong. Companies have been hiring, making money. The consumer's out there spending. So I don't see why. And confidence is up. So do you see any reason why there should be a rash of layoffs or anything like that?
No, and not until the bond market crashes and takes the market with it and returns back to the 2008 levels.
Oh, okay.
I bet I don't see that happening tomorrow.
I don't see it happening.
I'm looking at this thing here. If you look at this chart, I'm still looking at this consumer confidence chart, which people should check out. It has, you know, it shows it went up and up. It was going up. It kind of started going up in 2002. And you said like as low as 2000 or something, or the high was high in 2000, came down
after the crash,
9/11, the dot-com crash, all that. It creeped up in a kind of awkward way, and then it crashed.
Yeah.
For real. It went way down. And the other crash was just a bogus crash. And then it's been creeping up ever since. And so this has been a long bull market. It's going on a little too long.
You know, I think that also, I think it's important to recognize that sentiment can change very quickly. And at times when everybody thought everything was fine until just when it wasn't back in 2008.
Yeah.
You know, everybody's calling for a higher market. There's no real issues.
There were some indicators like letters of credit weren't being honored. There's a bunch of crazy little financial things going on. The housing market was overblown, and there was all these subprimers getting all this money. They're encouraged to buy places. They're going to make it up on the increase in value. I mean, there was something like that going on. I think there's stuff like that's going on now, but I can't put my finger on what it, only in hindsight, these, oh, it was this, this, and this.
Well, I think, no, actually, I agree with you that generally speaking, it's in hindsight, but the dot-com bubble, it's pretty easy to see that things were getting out of hand. The housing market bubble, it's pretty easy to see things were getting out of hand. The only thing that's out of hand right now is the amount of debt that countries have amassed over the last 10 years or so. And now we're starting to see much more aggressive and shaky loans being issued again. It's a cycle. It's going to happen. Every credit cycle goes through the same thing. And when everybody gets too excited and happy, they start going back to their old ways just to, you know, bring in, when they pretty much have everybody all set, they start bringing in the rest of the people and looking for places.
And usually these things happen when there's high confidence.
Of course.
Well, everyone's happy, yeah. buy, you know, the shorts are bad people.
And it's like, the ocean. When the tide is up, you don't see all the stuff that's kind of, all the broken bottles and the dead fish and the used rubbers in the bottom of the ocean floor, you know? But the tide goes down. That's when all of a sudden it's apparent. Nobody sees it otherwise. So as long as the tide stays up, everything is good. We don't see it. We don't think about it. So that's kind of where we are now. I'm not saying there's a lot of used rubbers at the bottom of the ocean at this point, but it could be.
Yeah, wouldn't surprise me.
It's possible. U.S. and Mexico appear to be reaching, I don't know, some kind of trade pact, trade deal. Details are not clear. Canada's not a part of it, but they're going to be a part of it. The new name for the deal is the U.S.-Mexico Trade Agreement, but that has to be ratified by Congress. I find it fascinating that President Trump, he makes these announcements that things are done and like signed and done, even though they have to be ratified and it has to go through the channels. But
well, what he sees is he did his part, so it's done.
All right, done from his office. Done.
Yeah.
Now you just got to do it on your side.
Now if everything falls apart after that, it's like it wasn't his fault. He already did his part. It's everybody else who screwed it up.
Ah. So NAFTA is no longer going to be. And the question is also, what kind of deal do we get with Mexico? Are they going to build a wall? Or, right? I mean, what do we get?
That's the question nobody asked about these press conferences. They're all concerned about everything else. Somebody should have asked them, hey, I thought Mexico was going to build the wall. That must have been in that deal, right?
Yeah. Where is this? Why is this not part of this? I thought this was an absolute build the wall, build the wall, build the wall. But it's not. It also looks like we're just going back to what we had before with Mexico.
No, pre-NAFTA?
Yeah, just no, at NAFTA with Mexico with a couple of little tweaks here and there.
Maybe.
Car companies got a boost on the news, Ford and GM. Now it looks like Canada is coming to the table this week for talks. To me, it looks like optics and no meat on the bone here.
It could be.
You know, it's the whole idea.
I haven't really looked into it that much.
You know, create a crisis, solve the crisis.
There's a lot of noise.
Yeah, a lot of noise. This week, China also was having so much problems, they need to intervene in their currency to prop it up a little bit after it's been falling for the last, I don't know, a couple of months, due to the fact that their economy is slowing down, tariffs are hitting them hard, trade wars are a real problem for them. They also provide some additional support for markets. Companies related to China, the trade on the U.S. markets, were up really nicely. Baidu, Alibaba, Weibo, Momo, IQ, YY. These all did pretty well. Here's an interesting chart for you. The S&P 500, we know, moved to an all-time high this week. And a lot of that, or a good part of that, was due to the technology component within the S&P 500. We know that those companies like the Apples and Microsofts, Facebooks, all those have done a great deal to help out the underlying market move, right? We know that.
And they, in big market moves, they always do.
Yeah. But here's a chart. It's kind of interesting. You can see the chart on DH Unplugged, number 421 under the show notes. for those of you that know how to get it before that, if you're listening in the chat room, you can post it if you want. But it shows the S&P Information Technology sector, which is in that light blue color on the chart. Yeah. And then it shows the S&P on the green and shows the S&P X Technology. So what this is showing is the S&P 500 as of yesterday. So it was up about 7% year to date. The S&P Information Technology component up 15.5%. If you strip out the technology from the S&P 500 for whatever reason, the S&P is only up 4% for the year. Takes it down about 3%. So major players.
Well, it still looks to me as though the technology segment is overvalued. I mean, undervalued in the average because it should be. Because the green line, if it was equal, non-technology and technology, that green line would be between those two, wouldn't it?
But the information technology is an overweight in the S&P 500.
Well, it doesn't make sense on this chart.
No, I take it back. It's not an overweight. It's not 50% of the S&P 500. So it's about 25%.
Well, that makes more sense.
Right.
It moved up enough to push this thing up a little bit, but it didn't do enough to go crazy.
Right. In between should have been about 10%.
Yeah.
4, 15, 19. Yeah. About 20 divided by 2, 10%. So right now it's at 7. So that makes sense. Take about 30% of that, 35% or something like that, 25-30%.
I think it'd be a mistake to overweight the technology segment. It's too flaky.
Yeah. It definitely has a lot more volatility over the long haul. But I mean, these companies. The other thing is, if you actually take the S&P information technology sector and then you take the companies that are in it, it's only about 5 or 6 companies that are really the big names here.
Yeah. And they're all pretty, I think, except for Microsoft, which seems to be in pretty good shape as a somewhat spread, just more than one or two products. Apple is just a phone company.
Well, they also have a lot of the services now.
I'm always overlooking that.
That's related to the phone, but their services, I mean, the App Store brings in billions of dollars to these guys.
Yeah, but without the phone.
And you got the Beats and you got the Apple Music streaming music.
Yeah, but without the phone.
Yeah, without the phone, you got problems. You got Apple TV, but yeah, it's definitely not... It's diversified, but I agree with you. If something, I don't know what happens. I have no idea. All of a sudden, there's no phones anymore. Problem for Apple.
I would think so.
Yeah. If there was no computers, Microsoft would be done for.
Yeah, but computers are more meta. They're more ubiquitous. The phone that Apple sells is a computer, but it's a very specialized one.
And a small one.
Yeah, very small one.
Cute little small computer. At the same price of a computer, by the way.
Or more.
Exactly.
I think you can get that new Microsoft Surface Go for $390 or so. And it's got a lot more going on than one of the phones do that costs as much or more.
Did I tell you that my wife got a Surface Pro laptop from her job, computer for work?
Yeah.
And I checked it out and I thought it was pretty cool. Nice design, I thought. Very nice to hold and to use and all that. She can't use it. Every time she uses it, I guess because they have so many blockers on, I don't know what's going on with it, overheats and says overheat warning, we need to shut down.
Oh, you know what it is?
Uh-uh.
It's the ambient temperature in Florida.
So she shouldn't be working in the sun.
Definitely not.
Yeah.
Yeah. Bring it into an air-conditioned room, that'll never happen.
It happens.
An air-conditioned room?
Of course, that's what I'm talking about. My wife doesn't work outside.
So in other words, your temperature in the room is what, 70?
75. That's what we live in down here, 75. Otherwise, it makes the air.
I wonder if that's even too warm. Well, maybe. It shouldn't be doing that. I'd take it back.
Of course. Shouldn't be doing that. It's ridiculous. Tesla news. Lots of Tesla news. Tesla, there's like certain quadrants of the news that keep on becoming weirder by the day. Over the weekend, on Friday night, last Friday at 11:30 p.m. Eastern time, approximately, Elon Musk tweets that the company is going to stay public.
How come they haven't locked this guy up?
It's just totally bizarre. Totally bizarre. There's some talk about Apple buying them now and ousting Musk and crazy
stuff.
There's
a lot of talk about him getting ousted.
But the board's not going to do it. He put the board together. The board is his cousins.
Yeah, they're not going to do it, and Apple's not buying him either.
But of course not. So stocks sold off. It was down about 5% in pre-market by the end of the day on Monday. It was like down 1%. It was down 2% today. No big deal. Still can't get that thing to crack 300.
Yeah.
Question's going to be, though.
It's going to be a while.
There's going to be some... there is an investigation going on right now. There's no question about that. They can't let this go with just a slap on the wrist. This whole shenanigans he pulled. Not to mention, if you think about it, you know, supposedly Goldman Sachs was hired to consult and to advise on this whole deal. Then on I think it was Wednesday or Thursday, there was an announcement that Morgan Stanley was hired. And then on Friday, he does this. And at 11:30 at night, I mean, something's not right.
I'd say.
Something's just...
The guy's a little bit out of control.
Yeah. The Saudi Arabian IPO of Saudi Aramco shelled. Another weird story, by the way. There was a news story that came out that they were pulling their IPO. Then they denied it. Then they came back and said, yeah, they're pulling it.
Well, that's peculiar, but what would be the point of it? It's not. It's no pump and dump action. I mean, there's nobody that...
No.
There's no stock there to pump and dump.
I don't know what's going on. I'm sure there's some reason why they want to do this, but there was a whole...
Maybe it's just a miscommunication.
Well, the Crown Prince Mohammed bin Salam was behind all this to try to finance reforms to strengthen the economy. But who knows if the king came in and kind of whacked the deal. So maybe... Remember something. This is the same people who locked up their own people... extorted them, you know, locked them up in a hotel in the Ritz.
Yeah, the Ritz.
Extorted all sorts of money out of them to, you know, billions of dollars to be released, which I think is the definition of kidnapping.
Well, they were under arrest, which you could say the San Francisco police, when they arrest someone, they're kidnapping them.
Why? Because they have to post bail?
No, because they were taken off the street and put in a cell.
Probably for a crime that they did, and then they have to face the legal system. Maybe.
We don't know that these guys were. I mean, it seems to me that a lot of the royal family guys are involved in some sort of petty crime at a high level.
Well, we know that. I mean, it's not. It's very corrupt. But they, whatever you want to call it, they extorted money out of them. They paid the money. They were released.
Yeah.
So I don't know if this whole deal was somehow, maybe the crown prince's involved in some shenanigans, and this whole thing to IPO 5% of the state-owned company was going to line his pockets.
I don't know. It's not going to happen now.
Yeah.
Which kind of surprises me, because everyone kept saying, well, the oil price has to go to a certain price, which I think was around 60, which is, you know, did that for this to be a good IPO. And then it did that, and the IPO is pulled.
Yeah. So that's done.
It may have been the books may have been really hard to deal with, and probably wanted to do it.
Didn't want to open it up. Didn't want to show it. Now I don't want you to be shocked with this next discussion that Wells Fargo is laying off more than 600 workers as it grapples with a slowdown. It grapples with a slowdown in its mortgage business. And why is that? Maybe people are not wanting to do business with this company who keeps on ripping people off left and right. There was a deal last week also that Wells Fargo is being looked into for excessive, I don't know, it was pet insurance or some other crapple they added to people's policies or their accounts they had to pay.
Yeah. It was some sort of insurance thing that wasn't necessary or was already covered.
Yeah.
Can't remember which.
So they're canceling that. Canceling the IPO, canceling some of the mortgage people. Tesla's canceling his go private deal. And now the North Korean deal seems to be canceled.
Yeah, this is kind of distressing, but we don't know because the news media is not really giving us the straight scoop on any of this stuff.
Nobody gives us the straight scoop on any of this. That's the problem. Isn't that the problem right now? Don't you feel that the last couple of years has been more problematic of getting a straight answer on anything than ever before?
Yeah, definitely.
It's just so annoying. I don't even watch this stuff anymore. I have a couple of news sites that I'll grab stories from, read what it says, try to just get the details of the facts if I can. And that's it. Just stop reading all the opinions from there.
Yeah, it's pretty pathetic.
So supposedly North Korea sent a letter saying something like we're double dealing. A letter came slamming the U.S. over the stall in the talks and accusing us of the U.S. is accusing North Korea of continuing to build nuclear capable weapons. I thought this was all settled. I thought this was all done. I thought this was all, you know, we're besties.
I don't know where it fell apart or how, or if it even did, and this is just bull crap, kind of created by either our news media or their news media or both news medias, and maybe none of it's true.
Well, we know that Mike Pompeo was supposedly scheduled to go there, and they said, no, thank you. And then, or they sent some letter, and then we said, no, Trump said it's off. The visit's off. We'll do this after the fact. I think this also has to do with China, because we really don't have leverage with the China issue, as we're not in the most friendly of terms with them right now.
Maybe.
Yeah. Let's see here. Microsoft. Microsoft investors may see a bigger than usual dividend boost next month, according to a Morgan Stanley report. Speculation that the company may be looking to continue their shareholder-friendly program of buybacks and dividends, which will be nice. They got lots of money at cash and out there, so.
Yeah, they got nothing to do with it, apparently.
Yeah, give it back. You know, increase shareholder value.
Buy Tesla.
Oh, yeah, okay. Everybody should buy Tesla. Netflix should buy Tesla. Why not? You could watch your movies right in your car. But here's a fascinating story. I don't know if you picked up on this one, but Netflix is reportedly developing a system that would direct new users to a sign up for subscriptions outside of its apps that run on Apple devices. And in doing so, Netflix would avoid paying commissions that Apple charges on app-related transactions.
Then
they should throw them out of the store if they do that, right?
Technically, I agree.
And if they don't, well, if they throw them out of the store and somehow they figure out a way to get the same amount of users and sign people up effectively, that could be a real problem for Apple.
You throw them out of the store. This is one of those things where you're too big to fail. You throw them out of the store and then the Apple TV sales drop. For one thing, because you wouldn't have the Netflix, or the Netflix wouldn't be on a lot of these devices. And say, well, I need this on my device, on my Apple TV or on my iPhone. And if I can't have it, because people do watch movies on their phone. When you ask me what my column is about, it's partly about that.
Oh.
And so they'll stop buying the devices. You shoot yourself in the foot. You can't really ban them.
Right.
It's like the main player when it comes to online streaming.
So maybe what's going to end up happening is this is another one of those things that you don't believe, because what's happening really is the underbelly of the story is that Netflix is saying they're going to do this, trying to renegotiate their commissions with Apple.
Because that's probably exactly it.
Right?
Yeah.
Yeah, just a thought. Speaking of television, Netflix, streaming, I am inching towards cutting the cord.
Why?
Well, my cable bill is, embarrassingly, he said, $330 a month at the house.
Okay, I would have cut the cord years ago if my cable bill was that.
So what I did was, one of the problems, let me tell you some of the functional problems. Functional problems is, give you an example. My wife calls me or texts me the other day, hey, it's hot. I'm at the office. Hey, it's hot in the house. I'm working from home today. Can you turn the air conditioner down? So fortunately, I have an app on my phone. I can, turn the air conditioner down.
She can't do it.
Now, just hold that story in the back of your, just hold that, okay? All right? So now I'm going to go to a product that doesn't even, you know, that you have to mess around with apps or some other thing and do something with a television that may not be the normal push the button up and down. You know what I'm saying? She's going to have a lot of problems with this. And then,
oh, she's not going to be able to do it.
Right. So I'm going to just be hearing all the time that I've never taught her how to do it, even though I did it 5 or 10 times. So now the current Comcast has that little thing that you speak into. You say, I want to watch tennis or whatever it is. So let me tell you where I'm going. The second problem is that she likes, when she gets dressed, to have a TV on in the bathroom. She has one channel she watches, some news thing in the morning, local news. I'm like, I'm not going to get a whole thing set up for the local news in the back. So this is what I did.
Well, you need an antenna.
I bought an antenna. It cost me like $20 as an add-on to my new Amazon Fire TV. Okay? As a tester.
Yeah.
Hooked it up in that on that TV in the back. Works brilliantly.
Yeah.
Okay? So right now, no matter what I'm going to do, I'm going to take that little cable box that's on there that I probably paid $5 a month for the little box there, and return that. So at least I save $5 a month there, if nothing else changes, okay? Then signing up for DirecTV Now, which is a streaming service that has, you know, all the TV things you can have on there and, you know, all the different programming, et cetera, that has a pretty good guide. Still not the same as like a traditional cable, but it works pretty well. Put that in the house, put Fire TV's plugins on each of the TVs and use that as the programming. Save myself about probably close to $175 a month.
Well, that's a lot over the year.
Right.
That might work, especially if you get that little problem solved in the bathroom.
Yeah, the bathroom problem solved. I'm so happy about that. I'm so happy that it worked. It's like this flat thing. It looks like a rectangular.
I have a bunch of those. They're flat as a pancake. And they just glue them up on the wall.
Right.
They're absolutely fantastic antennas, and they're like $20.
Right. Works great.
Yeah.
Works great. So right now I'm testing out the program that my friend has, DirecTV Now. From what I can see of all the different ones that are available, whether it's the YouTube TV one or there's a couple.
You looked at Sling Television.
Sling I looked at. There's a few other ones they have. Right now this one seems to have the best guide. Guide's an important thing. And it has cloud recording. Unlimited cloud recording.
You have to pay for that, though, extra.
You do?
I think so.
Oh.
Well, already have it. Your price, your bundle seems like you've already paid for it because I have Sling TV and it's like $30.
Now, if you buy DirecTV Now, if you pay for 4 months in advance, they'll send you an Apple TV for free.
And if you pay for... And if, damn it, there's a joke in there and I just lost the structure as I was trying to organize
it. You'll come back to it. Anyway, I'm working on this right now. It's a little process. What I did was I have in my office a, you know, 50-inch TV that I plug on. I put, you know, if I want to see some news that's popping, that's on TV to match it with what's going on, to see what's happening right at the moment, I'll put that on. But I now converted that one just temporarily to see how I'm testing it on that one at the office.
Yeah, okay.
So,
well, good luck with this project.
Oh, thank you.
I find that if you want to do cord cutting, I think the problem I have with it, I have mixed feelings about it on both sides of the argument. One, it is inconvenient.
Yeah.
And two, you shouldn't be paying $350 a month. I don't know what you're getting.
I got fast. I got the triple play. I have the phone, which doesn't cost me. If I don't have the phone, which I don't use, the phone line, I'd pay more. So I got the triple play.
Yeah, they do that to you.
I got the high-speed internet, like a pretty high-speed internet. And I have pretty much every channel. I think the only thing I don't have is the movie channel.
Well, I find that the premium channels tend to be just a ripoff.
There's
no
HBO,
good movies on them. What?
HBO or?
All of them. I think all of them should be sideline for Netflix. Netflix and your Amazon Prime will have all those movies sometimes at the same time. I don't see any reason to have HBO or Stars or any of those services. They're too expensive.
But some of the stuff is good.
And it's redundant. Well, you're talking about the series.
Westworld, Shameless.
I guess. if you want to watch Shameless, if you want to spend hundreds of dollars or more.
No, that plugin is only like $5. For Showtime, it's like $5 a month.
Yeah, well.
So we'll see. Pfizer, the drug maker, announced positive study results for its heart disease drug, Tafamidis.
Take your money away.
What was that? Tafamidis.
$1,000 a pill.
So here's my Tafamidis. Tafamidis. So here's my question to you. It has nothing to do about the drug. Who comes up with these names and why? Do they mean anything? Seriously. Do you know?
Well, I've noticed, I don't know, but I've noticed that many of them have something to do with one of the primary chemicals within the drug itself. So there's some sort of connection between the name and what you would call it generically. I have no idea. No, it's probably like naming chips.
Why can't they call it like Cure a Heart? You know, life prolonger.
You ain't gonna die.
Yeah. President Trump today launched an extraordinary attack on Google search because it seems to make him look bad. He suggested that the behavior was illegal and the situation will be addressed. You following the story?
No, not at all.
Oh, here's the tweet that he put out there. He said,
he does a lot of this stuff just to get people riled up.
Yeah.
I don't believe half of the stuff that he's putting out.
But you gotta admit, if this is all BS and he's just looking at, where does he get this imagination? I mean, some of this stuff, it just comes out of the woodworks.
He doesn't get any sleep.
Oh, yeah.
He has some personality disorder that somebody described once, but it's like a very high energy way into your 80s. You only need 3 to 4 hours of sleep with this condition. And that's him. I mean, he's the one that's doing the campaigns with these guys running for Congress. He's going back on the campaign trail and expects to do like 5 meetings a day. Fly from here to there to here. I mean, the guy's unbelievable. He's got more energy than like most 40-year-olds.
I don't have that much energy.
Nope. I don't know how he does it.
In his tweet, he says that Google search results for Trump news. So he puts in Trump news in the Google search. So I guess he's like doing the old trick of, let me put my name
in. Vanity search. Yeah, vanity search. Right. Everybody does it.
Yeah. Shows only the viewing reporting of fake news media. In other words, they have it rigged, capitalized, for me and others. So that almost all stories and news is bad. Fake CNN is prominent. Republican, conservative, and fair media is shut out. Illegal. 96% of results on Trump news are from national left-wing media. Very dangerous. Google and others are suppressing voices of conservatives and hiding information and news that is good. They are controlling what we can and cannot see. This is very serious situation. It will be addressed.
Yeah. Like saber rattling against Google.
Yep. Yep. All right.
He's not the only one saying this, by the way.
Well,
he's picking it up. Some congressmen are saying this, too.
You know what? I can't imagine. So, and also he was mentioning that last week that social media, he was attacking all social media, saying that social media is slanted.
Yeah.
Now, is it possible? So, wait a minute. What if when you come up with the word Trump, most people, if this is true, I'm just saying it's true, most people or most articles that have been read are negative because they really believe that. So the other side's going to be like, well, that's fake news. No, it's not me. No. It's maybe that's what they believe and that's what they're writing about.
Well, he has to complain.
Yeah. Okay, where are we going now?
Tilray,
yeah. So Tilray tonight posted better than expected earnings. I mentioned them at the end of the show last week, I believe, as one of the pot stocks.
Yeah, pot stock.
Stock is up like 50% since then, since last week.
Yeah, well,
Schmucker didn't put it on the sheet.
Missed out, I guess.
Yep. They posted better than expected earnings, which wasn't great earnings, but it was the first time since they went public in their IPO, and it was a good number for compared to what was expected. Up big after hours, taking the whole space higher. This is what I have to say about this. Listen carefully. Pot stocks are on a nug run. Looks like they're going to take a hot leg up.
What is a nug run?
You got to look this up. It's all pot terms here.
look it up.
Investors are really going to be happy with some green out of taking some green out of these deals. Some of the moves are really gaspers, simply smoking. Perhaps it's a good time to get a dab in these plays before they are cashed. Whatever you do, don't be a Bogart with these, or you may get blazed if they burn out. Thank you very much.
So this is your new, this is your kind of make good for your limericks.
Yeah.
You've decided to be cute.
Yeah, I thought I would do that.
Yeah, yeah.
Didn't work?
Yeah, but it worked. It worked enough.
Yeah, most people that are in the...
Didn't keep me in stitches.
No. Because you don't know what the hell I'm talking about. I don't know what the hell I'm talking about.
Well, I don't know what a nug nut is or whatever that was.
A nug run. A nug run. Let's go look. Let's look at the definition of a nug run. It's nug run. The definition of nug is the consumer. The term explains to consumers that only marijuana nugs were used. Nug run is typically more expensive than the trim run, and is used to make higher quality concentrates. They were used in the primary extraction.
Well, I learned something today.
Yep, a nug run. There's a lot of bizarre terms.
Yeah, well, it's going to, yeah. Well, there's a lot of companies here, too. You have a list, which people can check out on the site. And there's a lot of these companies. You should put this into a Google thing so it updates.
I could do that.
It would be cool, not that I'm going to tell you what to do. What would be cool is to have the price from the 827 price. And just as a stagnant number like it is now, and then have the current price next to it so we can see what the direction of these stocks is.
You want to do it from today?
Yeah.
Okay, stocks on a Google spreadsheet, with 820, well, it'll be 828 numbers with total return.
Yeah, that'd be great.
I got it. Got it. I put a few stocks to watch on here too, which is, again, is a little bit after the fact, but CGC, this is the one that Constellation Brands put $4 billion into a couple of weeks back. Stars.
Yeah, 46 bucks.
Yep. Tilray, Kronos, and MJ. MJ is the ETF that has a lot of the alternative.
Oh, names you still don't have it on this. You should have it on this list. The other ones are.
Well, maybe, yeah. That's because it's the ETF, but I'll put it on there. Yep. Now, if you're getting all excited about the show and you think that we're talking about some good stuff here, what you need to is you need to donate. Now, there's a couple ways to do this. Let me just tell you this before we go into this and send this out as a plea, because our server contract is coming up. And we got a few other things with developers and stuff to make sure things run and, you know, all that good stuff. And if you want to help us out, you just go over to the site and you click the donate button and just, you know, whatever can help, whatever you could do to help. It's important. It's, you know, you want to keep the show running. That's basically the only way that we can do it. Otherwise it comes out of our pockets, but you could also buy a very special shirt. It's the DH Unplugged official t-shirt. It's a black shirt with some nice logos on it with the picture of a guy smoking a cigar and all sorts of cool stuff. John and myself will sign it. With the show number. This is show number 421. So we'll have show number 421. It costs $421. If you want to be kind of a real helper, if maybe you made some money in the stock market.
Yes, like being a patron.
Yeah, exactly. Help out.
And get a shirt you can frame.
Yep. We know people have done that. So please go over to, please, this is a plea. Please go over. I feel like I'm PBS, or else the show can't continue. Don't they do that on PBS?
Pretty much. Yeah. Without your help.
Yeah. Go over to the dhunplug.com. Click the donate button. Just give whatever you can. It's really helpful. If you want to do a monthly recurring, that's on there as well. If you want to just do a one time, you want to do for, you know, enough to buy a shirt, which is $421 for this show. It's real important. So please do so. Keeps the things like the interactive game that we play, which is called Closest to the Pin, where we get buy t-shirts and give you t-shirts and all sorts of other cool stuff, which is, by the way, currently running. Close to the Pin is for Canopy Growth.
Yeah, Canopy Growth. Is that on? Yeah, there it is. CGC.
Yeah, you need to send
$46.35.
Yeah, you need to send me your price.
I'm going to send it to you. I'll send it to you. That's what I'm going to do.
Send in a smoke signal. Why don't you? Mass shooting in Jacksonville this week. Oh, by the way, let me back up. If you want to participate and you want to do this, where you're going to put your price in for the stock and the closest price to the actual price and the closing date, which is all the information is on the site, go over there and put in your price guess over to the closest to the pin. Or again, also on DH Unplugged. All right, back to this for now. Mass shooting in Jacksonville, the Gamers Conference. GameStop took a hit on this.
I would hope.
You think the parents are like, you're not playing games. It's not safe. Did you get to the bottom of this? What was the reason for this?
The guy killed himself. We don't know.
Well, that's a good point. Well, maybe sometimes somebody knows something.
Nobody knows anything, it seems.
You know what's interesting? It was also because of the way this goes on, people were actually watching or at least listening to some of this go on Twitch. Right? Because these things were playing on Twitch. They were broadcasting on Twitch. So
yeah.
You got to wonder, those people that want to get their moment in fame, if they're going to look at this as something where they can do something like this because it's being broadcast to so many people.
I think there's more to it than that. These guys, they're not that shallow.
Already they're coming out with, it's not the games, these violent games. It's not the games that creates the shooter. It's the shooter's the shooter. It's not games that kill people. People kill people. You know, that whole thing.
Yeah, well, it's true to some extent. Mm-hmm. But the guy was strung out on all kinds of, mood-altering drugs because he had, he wasn't bipolar, but he was something. And so he was like, Xanax and some other things. And so they think that may have something to do with it. Mm.
The mix wasn't good. Let's see. Amazon paying up for positive comments. They've launched a program that encouraged some of its fulfillment center employees to go on Twitter and talk about their experiences working there. The employees are called FC Ambassadors.
Oh, I thought they were just called trolls.
What's an FC? FC. Fulfillment Center. That's what it must be. Fulfillment Center. Yeah. FC Ambassadors are spreading the word about working at Amazon, their full-time job. Everything that the employee says on Twitter is positive. Sticking to a few talking points like bathroom breaks and compensation. You know, I saw a recent, these WeWork places.
Yeah.
There's a new one. Did I show you this one about the women's only one? And there's a women's only community workspace that is around the country. And, they talk about the same thing as usual, the coffee, the camaraderie, the nap rooms, the lactating rooms, all this kind of stuff. The lactating
room. Yeah, the lactating room, yeah.
Lactation room, the lactating room?
That's where you can, I think you can, that's where you can bring a breast pump or, I don't think they let you have babies in those places. So you pump away.
Yeah. I think that you and I should open a men's only co-working space. How would that go over?
It wouldn't.
No.
No,
we'd be sued.
Verboten.
Yeah. What kind of rooms would we have?
Like a bordello, you'd set something up like that. It'd be kind of different.
So a little nookie room?
Yeah, there you go.
A little nookie, the nookie room?
Yeah.
We got a bar. We got the smoking room.
Yeah, an oxygen room. We can get to breathe the oxygen.
Ah, there you go. Perfect. Okay, Verizon throttle. I don't know if this was crazy. The Mendocino wildfires.
Yes, this was a crazy story. I agree. Verizon throttled these guys because they went over their data limits.
Do you buy this story? So tell the story. What happened here?
Well, supposedly the fire departments up that are fighting, still fighting in some cases, all these wildfires, were using a lot of data. Don't know what data they were using or why, but they were using so much data that they exceeded their monthly limits. And so Verizon, not knowing who these guys were, they just auto-throttled them so they couldn't get any throughput. That's all I know.
Yeah, Verizon refused to lift the restriction on data, on the data speed, until the fire department upgraded to a more expensive plan.
Well, there is that.
They should set the damn Verizon place on fire.
Well,
and there stand you aside have it. Saying we can't communicate with anybody. We're trying.
I don't know the basics, the real deep side of the story. I'd have to look into it.
On a more serious and important note, we have an update on the sex doll culture.
Ah,
yeah.
Yes, you've been keeping up. I admire you for keeping this. You know, you got the target. You're right there. You're in the strike zone with.
Yeah,
this
I think
story.
That we may have to do a meetup. to do on the ground research on this.
We go to one of these companies that make these things.
This one's a little bit different. It took it to the next level. So a brothel is set to open up in Toronto in the North End.
Yeah.
But there won't be any sex workers. But instead, there's going to be high-tech robots. Sex dolls. Yep, sex dolls made of silicone. The name of the Aura Dolls, or maybe it's Oral Dolls. I don't know, A-U-R-A, Aura. Aura Dolls is launching what it claims is the first sex doll brothel in North America on September 8th in a plaza, Yonge Street. Yeah.
They're going to get no business.
No business.
And I'll tell you, if nothing else, because you put one paparazzi outside and start the first customer of this stupid sex robot operation. Sir, what do you think of this? How was it?
How was your experience, sir?
It's embarrassing. I think anyone going to the place would be humiliated.
Yep. So what happens is they say they operate similar to a brothel where guests come in. They have their own room. We have a TV monitor that plays adult entertainment, and a doll will be ready and waiting for you in your room. Names, photos, and descriptions
like
of the dolls.
Peep show from the like 70s in New York City.
Right, right. Oh, those places were crazy. Names, photos, and descriptions of the dolls can be found on the company's website, along with the rates, which range from $80 for one doll for 30 minutes to $960 for two dolls for 4 hours. Now, that's interesting. You get multiple dolls. That is so stupid.
It is. It's pretty bad. I'm glad you're amused.
Oh, that's ridiculous. You get a menage a trois with two dolls.
Yeah. Oh, yes. I've been in a menage a trois.
A menage a trois.
But, yeah, really? What was it? Where how'd this happen?
Oh, God.
The two dolls?
Oh, it's also creepy. I don't want to even talk about the washing issues.
Oh, yeah. How do they clean these? I mean, come on.
And who's going to sign up for that job?
The mop guy.
Oh, the mop guy. Yeah. Couple of other things, and then we'll get to the stocks and all. A 1962 Ferrari 250 GTO. I'm still looking at that story from before. Sold for $48.4 million at Sotheby's annual Monterey Collector car sale.
Yeah, that's pretty high.
World's record.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't know. Why do you insure something like that?
Mm. Shares of Sears Holding Corp. They're still in business, by the way. Soared on Tuesday, today, after the struggling department store. You know, you got to put all these modifiers.
What does soared mean for this company?
Soared is up 13%. You know, from bankrupt almost to up 13%.
That's a lot.
And then you have to put, the modifiers after the... Not department chain store, but the struggling department chain store said it expanded a deal with Amazon. What they're doing is they're providing ship-to-store tire installation and balancing services. This is what it's come to. You buy your stuff on Amazon, have it shipped to the store, and they'll install it for you.
Yeah. There were some issues with this whole Amazon process. It's starting to get on my nerves.
I mean, I could do... Ship to store at any tire place.
You can go to Tire Rack and do it.
Yeah, exactly. Tire Rack's great. Sometimes they bring mobile installers to your office or house.
Tire Rack?
Tire Rack is the one online, right?
Yeah. It's the one with all the reviews.
Right.
It's the best site to go to when you're buying tires because there's all these people that are driving those tires and they have a lot of commentary to make.
But you could buy
these tires are harsh.
Right.
They make a lot of noise.
Yeah, right, right. They're bumpy. Tread wears quickly. But you can have it sent to somebody who's a mobile installer.
I'd probably go to Tire Rack first.
Yeah, no, from Tire Rack.
Oh, yeah, you probably could.
Or you could send it to a local store like a Tire Hut or a Tire Kingdom or a Tire whatever. Hmm. So, anyway, what is John C. Dvorak writing for PC Magazine this week?
I'm writing about the technology gap between millennials and non-millennials, older folk, the youngers and the olders.
Where does the – we know what the millennials are.
It's about how people use the phone, the mobile phone. When you're older, you don't use it like the kids do. They're on this thing constantly. They're looking stuff up. You're in a situation, people need to know something. They're there at the ready, going on the Wikipedia, and they're reading it to you. I realized that after witnessing this for so many years that I don't even need a phone anymore. If there's a bunch of millennials around me, I can just beckon them. I say, who's this person such and such? Can somebody look this up? They all go to their phones immediately, and they all start looking stuff up until the first person finds it, and then they start reading back to me the information I was requesting. I don't need a phone. I also realize that when you're floating around with no phone, you can always borrow somebody's phone, and they'd be very glad to give it to you. I use the excuse, my battery's dead on my phone. Can I borrow yours? And yes, people are very happy to let you use their phone to make, because it's all these unlimited plans. They don't care. So I've decided you don't need these phones, and I have a good argument for it.
Do you think that this phenomena with millennials and young people is going to possibly create brain atrophy?
I have no idea, but it's fine with me.
Yeah, they supplant their brain. They don't need to remember anything. Everything's over there. You know, I knew people's phone numbers. Do you know anybody's phone number?
Yes, because I use these techniques. I have to know the phone number so I can borrow a phone.
Oh, wow. That's a good point.
I've never put the phone numbers in memory. They're in my memory. The other thing is I've stopped using the navigators. I just drive around. I can get around. It turns out I don't need this stupid turn left, turn right. I don't need any of that. I know how to get from here to there. I live in the area.
Now, when you take a picture, how does that happen?
I use a camera.
Really?
I have used a phone camera, but it's rare because I don't like the images. But I have little cameras I use. I got big cameras, little cameras. I like to take a real picture with a real camera with a real lens.
You're sounding ancient here, my friend.
Well, you can say what you want, but I'm the one that gets a, yeah, I can sit back and I just request something to happen, about some information that comes to me. I feel more like a king.
So ridiculous. The whole thesis behind this is silly. But okay. That's what
happens.
Very
enjoyable column. Good. I liked writing it.
All right. Let's get over to the stock picks. It's a game that we play. It's not an offer to buy, sell any security. It is just simply something we do to have a little fun with. I'll pick something. John will pick something. We'll go short. We'll go long. We'll talk to you about the thesis behind it. All these stocks that we talk about are going to be referenced over on DH Unplugged under the weekly stock picks, where you can see what's happening with how much they're up, how much they're down, what's going on. We usually have a 10% trailing stop on all these. And of course, if John C. Dvorak, myself, or Horowitz Company clients own any of these, we will reference that to make sure you understand there's a disclosure. And finally, we don't take any liability for your losses. We're not recommending these. Seek professional financial advice before you invest in any of this if you decide to do so. There you go.
Exactly. Well, it looks like we've got mostly green, but the list is shrinking. Mm-hmm. Which is kind of a problem. We only have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 stocks in play. You were kicked off of your Twitter short, but you came out ahead with 18% gain. The only thing that's in the red, only one is my Zynga pick. And that's, I still don't know. Everything else is way up. Well, except Eagle Point Communications. That's only up a little bit.
Still green. Still green. I got a couple of picks for this week. The first one I mentioned earlier is MJ, which is the,
ETF. So according to this, it's a Latin.
No, that's not what it is. I mean, it is the right symbol, but it doesn't look like the right description on this. So it is the it's the marijuana ETF, MJ. ETF managers try to your XP Latin America. I don't know what that. I don't know what that symbol is, what the name is. But anyway, I'm telling you. Symbol is MJ, which is the marijuana ETF or related stocks, alternative. I mean, it's like Reynolds in there and there's a few other things in there as well. The other one. What? What else?
What's the other one?
Oh, the other one's Skechers.
Oh, your buddy.
So Skechers, we saw today.
I love Skechers.
You do? Do you?
Oh, yeah, they fit me nicely.
Yeah, there's a couple of really interesting new styles that are out, these comfort shoes. And they have a couple of other brands that are, I'm seeing a lot of people talk about these. I'm seeing a lot more people wear them. The other thing, the stock chart looks terrible, so I'm thinking that there's a lot of negativity built in here. But the other thing is, we're seeing some of these shoe companies, two of them, Shoe Carnival reported tonight, and DSW, you know DSW shoes?
The Discount Shoe Warehouse.
Yeah, or Designer Shoe Warehouse, or whatever it's called.
Whatever.
They reported today too, blew it out. Just blew it out.
Well, there must be something going on with shoes.
Yeah, something. So I'm going to put Skechers on the list.
All right. Well, I have one. And this is because the only reason is insiders. It's a pharmaceutical operation, PTLA, Portola Pharmaceuticals.
PTLA.
This chart looks like it might have bottomed out at 26. And it's back. It looks like it's back on the upswing. It's a very funny chart. It's got like a lot of daggers and then crazy ups and then another dagger, death dagger, and then down. And now it looks like it could have hit a bottom here looking at the charts and might be on an upswing. It could go to 40 easy.
Mm. Right, let's put that in here. And like I said, you can track all these over on dhunplug.com. That button there. Okay, good, 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 good. All right, we're good. All right, we're right on our hour, so I guess we're going to have to close it all up.
Sounds good to me.
All right, I'll see you next week.
You've been listening in on a conversation with John C. Dvorak and Andrew Horowitz. Hope to be with you again soon. Bye-bye.
Now, I'm not broke, but badly bent. I'm not down to my last cent, cause I got a dollar, but it's my last dollar bill. Yes, sir. In my pockets, there's a dent. All my dough is nearly spent, but I got a dollar, and it's my last dollar bill. Oh, I'd love just one more buck fortune left me by chance. Now, here's a hint, I feel like a man. You can hardly tell by a glance. I don't care, no millionaire can give me the icy stare, cause I got a dollar, my last dollar bill.